All right, here we go with another authority agency member spotlight. And today we have someone that I am actually, you know, pretty envious of the skills, because it's something that I don't have. And I'm always, you know, envious and revere people that have the skills of being able to put together processes, be able to put together a plan that can put together checklist and task, because it's something that my brain is just not wired for. So it's always fascinating to me, and it just blows me away, you know, how powerful it is when they put it together and how it really makes a plan come together and projects come together. And today I have with me Diana Needham. How are you doing, Diana?
I'm great, Jack. I'm so excited to be here today. Thanks for the invitation.
No, I'm excited for you to be here as well, because, you know, I guess to put it in as plain English as I can, I'm a mess, right, when it comes to some of the things that you're really good at. What I've, you know, come to learn and see what, you know, you're able to do, not just in putting together projects, but also in the confidence that you instill in people and your clients. I've actually met clients of yours that are just thrilled with the work that you do. And it really comes down to their confidence and your ability in doing what you say you're going to do, and your ability to do, you know, with the expectations that you set. So let's start right there. You know, the people that you help are, you know, what the type of people a lot of people want to help is authors, speakers, consultants, that are the ones that are really in need and can benefit from authority positioning, you know, more than a lot of folks. And you are really good at not just kind of selling them what you have, but really being able to listen and see what their need is and put that together. So let's start right there. The types of clients that you are working with and putting together, I know you're putting together books and you go really deep into some LinkedIn, you know, some of the powers of LinkedIn. But, you know, when you're working with someone that's an author, a speaker, a consultant, a coach, what is one of the first things that you are doing to kind of see what they need before you dive right into here's what I have mode?
Yeah, well, yes, great question, Jack. And, you know, what I've discovered by talking with authors and speakers and consultants is that a lot of them have written a book because they have a big message. There's you know, they have something, a legacy, I guess I would say. They have a legacy that they want to leave. They have this big message, but they really haven't given any thought to how to effectively market it and how to integrate that book into the rest of their business. So, you know, I ask them in the first call to help me understand who their ideal reader is, and what problem the book solves, and what they want the book to do for them. And that's a question, surprisingly, that a lot of people cannot answer.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I found that too. It's
yeah, they don't, you know, so case in point, I had a client that actually came here. We did a VIP day together, face-to-face in a conference room. And when I asked her, what is it you want this book to do for you? We kind of went on this drive from Ohio to Canada and across through Toronto and back through Detroit and back, and we kept going in a circle. And about an hour later, I kept asking, what do you want this book to do for you? And finally she said, I want this to open doors for me inside companies where I can help the women leaders untangle the organizational mess and get their teams moving in the right direction. Now I've got something to work with, right? Because when she got clear about that, then it made it so much easier to map out the right marketing strategies, who she needed to get in front of, who did we need to go get endorsements from, and to make that whole thing work.
Well, I think that's one of the benefits they have is, one, if they're fortunate enough to have you get a hold of them before they write their book, then yep, it turns out to be a completely different outcome than the people. And I really wanted to talk about this because it's something that a lot of people that are, you know, working in the authority marketing area face are the people that didn't have any guidance, that they just kind of, shot from the hip on, I want to write a book, or, you know, they took advice from, you know, someone that's telling them how to write a book that really doesn't have, you know, any purpose behind it except for just dumping words out onto a page. And the problems that you face. So talk about that, the difference between working with someone that is ready to write their book versus someone that just finished their book and is looking for guidance.
Yeah. I mean, the folks that have just, if they've just finished their book and they haven't thought about who their ideal reader is and what they want the book to do for them, they are so tied to their content, and because this book is their baby, and they're tied to their content. So in a lot of cases, they're not willing to hear that if they tweaked it just a little bit and changed it and kind of stepped back for a minute, figured out what is it they want the book to do for them, that they could have a totally different outcome. So, you know, ideally, I love working with people that are in a place where they see the value and they see that this book, it really is about positioning. It's not about book sales. It's not about revenue coming in the door tomorrow, because that's not how this works.
Right. And that's a big, big, you know, issue. And I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes there's a mindset that people have that they don't realize that there are people out there, a lot of people out there, that understand the value of the positioning, that understand that that's exactly what they're looking for. And there's some people that are helping business owners with their authority positioning or helping them with books that feel that there always has to be a very concrete ROI or a very concrete, direct sell revenue tied to what they're doing. And they feel like they always have to justify that. You know, how do I justify directly? I put this book out, and what is that going to mean to me, you know, in concrete terms of return? And that's just not the case. But people don't understand that. And what do you see the difference? Because I know you've worked with both kind and you know, if encountered both types of prospects. Where do you see the difference and how easy it is to work with each one of those types?
Well, you know, I my newest book author that I'm working with is a prime example of the ideal client I love to work with. And, you know, she's in a place where she actually has more than enough revenue to sustain her lifestyle. And when we had this conversation over the holidays, she was in Thailand with her husband, and she has two sizable clients and enough, you know, more than enough for them to be comfortable. And so she was in a place where money wasn't the big thing. She gets that this is about positioning. Yes, she has a big message, and yes, she wants to build a business around this book, kind of separate from her other, you know, her other business. The fact that she gets the authority positioning part, and she gets that there's a process and there's a roadmap to follow to get there, makes all the difference. She is the ideal client for me.
And obviously the one that's going to be easier for you to help even. You know, a lot of people don't understand that the people that actually are the least needy are the easiest to help, and you can actually have big results for them. Right.
And yeah, exactly. And I, you know, one of my mentors used to say, if you have to drag them in, you have to drag them around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think at the beginning, a lot of us take on clients because we need the revenue. And there's that, you know, we take people on, and then you find out that they are such an energy drain and that it wasn't worth nearly what you probably charged them to get them across the finish line.
So yeah.
I've learned to have better filters and ask the right questions, you know, and one of the questions that is, you know, and I teach my clients this when they're having sales conversations, one of the questions you need to ask after you know what their problem is, what their challenge is, you need to ask them, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is solving that for you right now?
Ah, that's very good.
And if they give you anything less than a 6 or a 7, they're not ready. Not that you don't continue the conversation. You do, because you kind of probe around a little bit. But if they're not ready, you just move on. I mean, you send them some free resources, or, you know, give them, stay in contact, follow up, continue to touch them. But they're not ready.
Yeah. And so one of the things that some people have a problem with or try to get their head around up front when doing this is how to verbalize that, you know, whether they're ready or not. You talk about a roadmap. And so can you give it like a broad sketch of kind of the roadmap that you go through to determine if someone is ready for authority positioning or if they are looking for a different type of outcome when they're writing a book?
Well, it really, my figuring that out really comes from the conversation when they're clear about what they want the book to do for them, and they know, without, I don't even have to say anything, they know the value of being a best-selling author. They know that's going to get them bigger speaking engagements. They know that's going to get them invited to bigger events and move, kind of move them up in terms of being recognized by the luminaries, you know, in their field. They get it. The folks that you have to explain all of this to, honestly, they're not ready.
Right. And you can tend to find them out very, very quickly because they are focused on, you know, how much money can I sell? How many books am I going to sell? What kind of, you know, royalties can be made on that. And, yeah. And it's pretty obvious. And if you don't ignore those signs, then it's pretty easy for you to stay clear. Now, you know, you definitely have a process together for putting books together. You definitely, you know, a lot of times the people that you work with, just the fact that you have a plan, you know, the confidence that they have in you is all that they need to feel good. They don't need to know exactly what's going to happen or how it's going to happen. They just know that Diana knows what's going to happen and has a plan for it to happen. But we were talking, and anybody that does this business for any length of time is going to have those oddities. They're going to run into those situations where they do things maybe that they knew that they may not should have done, or they try different things that just don't work out. And I'm all for talking about the good, the bad, the ugly to get the hiccups out of here. You talked about a book that you put together here recently with multiple authors that really turned out to be a lot more work than probably you anticipated or had hoped for. And so talk about that and kind of the lessons learned with the way that you did that. But I do like the way that you tied this to an event. I think that's really, really cool. But talk about kind of those lessons learned and what you would do differently and or things that you will never, ever do again based on that.
Yeah, well, let's just say it was quite an experience. And Jack, you've taught us, if you're going to do a multi-author book, to stay in control of the process and stay in control of the content. And we did not do that. We gathered up, we had 12 authors for this book, and they were all to write a chapter about their biggest tip for how to double your income. And we were tying it to an event. So, you know, hindsight being 2020, as it always is, there were people that are great at speaking, not good at putting anything on a piece of paper. We received content that was, to say it was bad is probably kind. We had to edit. We got involved with a lot more work than we ever anticipated. So what I've learned, one of the things I've learned from this whole process is follow that interview, the interview process that you teach us, so that you're in control of the content. It's consistent. You have it transcribed. You have it edited. I mean, you control the whole thing, because when you're relying on 12 people to give you their content on a time frame that you laid out. Half of them did not do that.
Well, that's a good percentage. If only half of them.
And for a lot of the ones that did, then we ended up editing, right? And we ended up doing a lot of editing. But we tied it to an event. So we had a local business event here called 17 Legal Ways to Double Your Income. And these authors, we actually did this book as part of their sponsorship. So we had there were 10 local authors in this book, and they were all breakout speakers.
Just so people are clear, because I want to make sure that they don't miss this, that was one of the incentives for them to, or one of the perks for them sponsoring the event.
Correct.
So it wasn't something that they were purchasing the book chapter directly, but it was probably a very compelling incentive or perk for doing this for a lot of them.
Yes. And still today, we did this event on November 13th. Today, I don't believe that over half of these authors that contributed have any idea of the value of being able to call themselves a best-selling author.
Right. They don't know the value, or they just don't know the next step to do. And that's what kind of makes us so valuable is sometimes we forget how much we know about, you know, what to do with this stuff. What's next kind of question. So they went through, they're a published author, they're a bestseller author, and now they're at a point where they don't know how to leverage it or don't understand how to leverage that.
Well, we've tried to communicate. And, you know, it probably, now that you bring that up, probably wouldn't be a bad idea to host a webinar and go through this one more time. But, it was great to tie it to an event. It was an all-day event. It was at the Carolina Club, which is in the Alumni Hall of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Beautiful setting. And I was the final keynote, and my presentation was Insider Secrets for Authority Positioning. So I, obviously took some information from our authority book, and it positioned me in a different way in the business community. But I would never write a book the way that we did this one.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. And I'm glad you share that, because a lot of people, everything is success. And even the book that you wish you had done wrong was a success, because it obviously got people to buy the sponsorships. They were happy to do it. It was just more work than what you had anticipated or hoped for to put it together. So at least now you'll know. And next time your brilliance in putting together processes and roadmaps will always include doing the interviews and taking control of that, I guess.
Yeah. And, one of the things that's come out of that is my partners. I had a couple key partners for this particular book. And one of them has come to me and said, I want to buy 10 copies of The Authority Mindset, right? Is my being a contributing author to that book. I want to buy 10 copies because I want to send them to my clients.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we're cross-pollinating. So, I was happy to work this all out and give him 10 books. And he's, writing a little note and giving it to his clients saying, you need to read this. This will be really valuable to you.
That's fantastic. Because I there's some good stuff in that sets the foundation for what authority is and how to use it. Makes people say, well, how do I get involved? Is this something you can do with me? So that's a great way to use that book.
Yeah. And actually I was a speaker and a sponsor at an event in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago, and I had some copies of The Authority Mindset on my table. I didn't have a price on it. I just had it there. And a couple prospects that I talked to that are authors or they're thinking about writing a book, if there was a real connection with me, I said, would you let me give you a gift? He said, sure. And I just picked up a book. I wrote a little inscription on the front specifically to them and said, here, I want you to take this and read it. And I look forward to talking to you sometime next week. And away they went. They were so happy.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it is. It's really powerful, and it changes the way people think about you. And until you actually experience that, some people don't understand the power and the value of that, and the ability to provide that for others is just really, really powerful and remarkable. It's something that, you know, I don't think I'll ever get unaddicted to it, to be able to do that. One thing that I want to make sure that we talk about, because, you know, you're often rolling with the books, helping people put together these books for authority positioning very purposefully with this roadmap. But one of the things that you are good at, and one of the things that you are, you know, known for, is the ability to really take advantage of LinkedIn. And even, you know, in the authority positioning in the business world, there's a lot of people that still think of LinkedIn as that, you know, place to put your resume, place to get a job, place to find someone to hire. But you've used it for something far more powerful and far more effective for entrepreneurs and business owners and coaches and consultants. I want to make sure that we are able to talk about that a little bit, about you know, the ability for people to leverage LinkedIn far beyond employment or finding employees.
Yeah. Thanks for asking about that, Jack. And, you know, what I've discovered, and this actually came from, you know, I this is something I said when I was speaking here at this event in November, you know, about being the educator and the advocate, right? I use this as an example. I didn't wake up one day and say, I want to be the LinkedIn lady. I am known as the LinkedIn lady here in my local area. It's like if people call me to speak, they want me to talk about LinkedIn. I didn't wake up one day and just decide I was going to be the LinkedIn lady. It came about because the women in one of my entrepreneur groups, they said, we're just totally confused about LinkedIn. We're lost on LinkedIn. Could we do an evening where we just bring our laptops and you show us how to put together our profile? Well, that then I parlayed into doing workshops locally here at the library, which turned into, I have done a couple different webinar, you know, based programs. And I now have a program called the LinkedIn Leverage Formula, the Roadmap for Entrepreneurs, because there's so much training out there around leveraging LinkedIn for the job search. Really nothing powerful for entrepreneurs. So I actually put this together, and it was, you know, when I was speaking and I said, you know, I was the educator and the advocate for the women in this group. That's how it happened. I was listening to what they needed, and I put together something to help them. And that has just become a topic a lot of people are interested in. I have a recorded 7 webinar program. And actually that was what I had at my table at this event in Knoxville, was my LinkedIn program. It's all recorded and included in the program. It's everything from how do I put together my profile? How do I word it in such a way that I attract my ideal clients and my best referral partners? How do I leverage recommendations? You know, what's that whole process? How do I manage incoming and outgoing connection requests? Which I always tell people, never send that canned connection request. It should be customized. Every single time it should be customized. So that whole program, it also includes a 2-hour Q&A, live Q&A, where they can come and ask their questions and have me go look at their profiles online if they want, and have me give them some tips and information, insights into things they might want to do to make it even more powerful.
And how do you see that, when, you know, that they view you? Because one, it takes you from service provider, just being a service provider, to, you know, an information, you know, an educator as well, to be able to do that. And have you seen a value of packaging that together where, you know, not only, you know, we do the, you know, with this book, but also, here's an education piece, you know, an info product, almost training on doing LinkedIn. Do you see that those, because we've done that at events where, you know, we'll put something together onto a CD or DVD to give to people something. And it really does kind of change the way that you know, they view you and see the value when you provide them with not just here's, you know, what you can do for us if you pay us, but also here's the way that you can learn from us as well.
Yeah, and actually, I'm, you know, as I said, everything I put together is a formula because I'm a process kind of gal. So I'm actually thinking about putting something together around the book side that's a formula, you know, kind of a high-level formula sort of thing, but to actually do the detail you most people would need to seek out, you know, seek out some help. And here's the, you know, so some of the folks listening to this might be saying, well, what does LinkedIn have to do with working with authors? Well, here's the thing. The authors I work with all want to find the right referral partners. They want to be speaking on bigger stages. They want, you know, they want to be found. And the truth is, LinkedIn is considered an authority site by Google. So if somebody loses your business card and they just go to Google and put in your name, they don't remember anything about you. They don't have your website. They don't have your phone number. They just go and do a Google search. Their LinkedIn profile is going to come up on that first page. And because we are twice as likely to believe what we see on LinkedIn as on the other social media platforms, it's likely they're going to click on that. So when I work with authors, I say to them, we will not launch your book until you get to 500 plus connections.
Now, that's a very good, right? Yeah.
That could be 501, right? Nobody knows. I mean, it says 500 plus, so nobody knows if that's 501 or 3,782. But we're going to get you to 500. That's something I help them with as part of my package. We're going to get you to 500 plus connections because when the media starts looking at you, if they see 178 connections, that is not going to bode well for you. I don't want you to be embarrassed. So we are going to get you here. I mean, and I've even like been doing that for clients, extending connection requests on their behalf to get them from, you know, 497 to over 500 a couple of days before the launch, because I don't want them to be embarrassed.
Yeah, that is, you know, that is really powerful. And I can tell you, LinkedIn, it's certainly not something that I've, you know, put a lot of time in and you know, neglected it. But I've gotten speaking engagements, paid speaking engagements, where people just say, hey, you want to come speak, you know, several $1,000 fee speaking engagements just because of, you know, finding me on LinkedIn and enjoying the content and stuff that they see there. So, you know, I think, as far as authority positioning, I would put LinkedIn right up there, you know, towards the top of the social media platform to use to, you know, for authority positioning, for
that,
sure.
That's absolutely right. Yep. And so that's how I've married for a while. I couldn't figure out, it seemed elusive to me how to tie these two things. They seem like two different things, right? The book marketing stuff and the LinkedIn stuff, but honestly, they fit together perfectly. And, you know, when I speak with author clients, every proposal is custom based on where they are and what they need. So if they need editing or they need formatting, I tell my authors, do not even try to figure out how to format your book and get it up on Kindle or CreateSpace. We can do that for you. I have a local partner here that does that. We work together. She does that. She does the editing and all that. So crafting a package that's customized to where they are and what they need. Almost all of them need help on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I always wind, you know, incorporate that into the package so that they have a polished presence when we roll out this bestseller status, that they feel really good about it.
Oh, yeah. And I think right there, one of the easiest things, you know, that you mentioned, I think it was just tremendously valuable, and I'm glad you brought it up, is having a, you know, the get you to 500 over 500 connections as part of a package is just a no-brainer. That's something that, you know, is easy to do, but is a mystery to a lot of people. And that's one of the first things I did before I even understood LinkedIn. I understood the 500 connection thing. And I said, well, before I learn another single thing about LinkedIn, I'm going to get over 500 connections. And that's what I did. And it is definitely puts you in a different category than a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. It does. And there's such a need for that. Every time I'm asked to speak, that's how you know. When I get invited to speak, it's almost always about LinkedIn. So, and what I've started to do now is talk about LinkedIn in the light of authority positioning, which then leads into another conversation, right? About, are they thinking about writing a book? Have they written a book? So it kind of takes a little bit different spin on the LinkedIn than I was using before when I start talking about how it positions you as an authority when people look you up.
Yeah, that's that's just really a it seems, you know, easy to think about, but yeah, the way that you describe that is something that should easily be something that people consider. And you know, luckily we have you in the group as well on those LinkedIn tips. So I definitely look forward to see what you're doing on the LinkedIn front and how you tie all this together. And I'm just thrilled to see, you know, the success that you're having with, you know, with the books and with that market of the authors and coaches. And, you know, we've been to, you know, several events that where your name has come up and people just speak really highly of you. And you know, I'm just very proud to have you here with us in Authority Agency.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Jack. I was thinking about this. That, yeah, I think that I jumped on this the minute that you announced it.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah, definitely. Yeah, from the very beginning,
from the very beginning, and I so appreciate your wisdom and Brian's, and you know, the collaboration that goes on in the Facebook group and how everybody just jumps in and helps each other. It's just amazing. So I'm grateful to be part of it.
Well, we are certainly, again, grateful for you being part of it. So thank you very much. Any way that people can connect with you more on LinkedIn? You know, how can people connect with you and find out more about what you've got going and what you're up to?
Well, they can always connect with me on LinkedIn. I have a pretty powerful presence actually on LinkedIn. My reach on LinkedIn is over 20 million. So I do work at that. I'm out there almost every single day. They can also find information at DianaMNeedham.com. I'm branding myself as Diana M. You know, M happens to be my middle initial. It's also, you know, M is for marketing.
Ah, okay.
So, they can check out DianaMNeedham.com. I'm doing a facelift on that website coming soon. So that's how they can connect.
All right. Well, perfect. Diana, thanks so much for coming on and sharing what you've, you know, been doing and you know, the bumps and the bruises, but also some really good nuggets here. So thank you.
Oh, Jack, if I could just say one more thing. One of the greatest joys to me is watching my author clients, the results from the book launch. You know, I track the numbers every hour. And my launch that we did in December, to watch her book come up as in the number two position in women in business right beside Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In was one of the highlights of my month. I mean, just watching that and what it's done for her since then, being invited to radio interviews and just widening her circle. It's been my blessing really to be part of that for authors.
Oh, that's powerful. That is really powerful. Well, good luck to you. And I'm definitely, you know, following you and seeing you. And I always love to hear your name whenever we hit events. And hopefully we'll be able to connect at one at the same time here this
year.
That'd
be awesome.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
Well, very good.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. Well, thank you very much, folks. There you have it. Diana Needham, definitely a very powerful member we have in an authority agency. Really strong people doing some really incredible things. So remember, until next time, you are the only real game changer.